We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through 20. There was a big problem historically, folks. There was a big problem in the church. You had a young church. And remember, these people, this book was written to these people about 20, 25 years after Christ had risen. Okay? And there were issues coming into the church. Paul read through that graciously, that scripture. And as we see here in verse 12, it says, "Now Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." There were issues that came from pagan backgrounds. There was one mention here. You can go to Rome and you can go to the catacombs. And the catacombs are those underground tunnels for more than 600 miles of these underneath Rome. The dug that was dug in soft clay and was about 8 feet tall. You could walk into these chambers and you could see these catacombs all there today. A lot of them are closed off because of the safety issues, you know. But then there are some inscriptions written on the walls because the catacombs were used for people who ran away from the tyranny of Rome. These people did not mess with you. They did not say, oh, they did not travel to another country and try to bring a person home like they're trying to do with this one person. And we need to pray for our justice system today because it's so confusing, okay? And people are, our country's being split right down the middle, just like Rome was. It fell within. Watch the news. You see, you don't even know. You don't know to who to believe nowadays. But you have Christ and you know the truth. But in these catacombs, it says the inscriptions of people who went there and despaired in life. They said one was written, "Live for the present hour, since we're sure of nothing else." And there was another one besides uncertainty of life because they were afraid of being captured in this dark tunnel. And by the way, pray for those who were taken prison by the Hamas. Those Jews are still captive since October 7th. It's been over a year, and they're still in tunnels. What a hellish experience to go through. I could not even imagine those poor people, those hostages, those Israelites. No one should ever have to, anybody in the world, have to go through that. Another one says, "I'll lift up my hands against the gods who took me away at the age of 20. Though I have done no harm." Another person has believed in this God, saying, where are my gods? And then here's another, "Once I was, and now I am not, for I know nothing about it, and it is no concern of mine." Another last one says, "Traveler, curse me not as he passed, for I am in darkness and I cannot answer." The hopelessness. There was that hopelessness with the pagan gods. It wasn't only that, and with a resurrection, because what they believed back in that day was that your body was cursed. But you had a good spirit. And what the Roman culture, the Grecian culture, as well as the pagan culture, and by the way, the Sadducees, they didn't even believe in a resurrection. That was the priestly side of the Jewish religion. They were saying, as the Romans and the Greeks, they stated, well, you know, your body's cursed. We don't believe in a resurrection. That is why the Corinthian believers were confused about it. It was like, what do you mean? I don't believe in a resurrection. They did not believe in reincarnation. Okay? So it was that way. Because that's why when Paul went to Mars Hill, they laughed at him. It was a Grecian part of the country, and they looked at him like, "Paul, they laughed at him. We don't believe in a resurrection." And then you had Paul go to Festus in Rome, and Festus says, "You're out of your mind. You're crazy. There is no resurrection." You know, talk to people about the resurrection. They're thinking, "Like, look, I'm going to live, eat, and drink, merry, and be merry." And we get that quote from Isaiah 22, or if it's 55, but it's when the Babylonians encircled Jerusalem. Some Jews were saying, live, eat, drink, marry, for tomorrow we die. And some people have no hope. There's no hope. So they even had lit candles, these people did, in the Roman culture and Grecian culture, by their tombs. And that was represents their spirits. They would be thinking, oh, great, I'm out of this body. Then what? What else is next? But today, you say, well, okay, that's applicable for that time. Good enough, I got my history lesson. No, wait a minute. I'm at war with woke. And woke is a religion. I've been studying books on this, and they are very sly. They're very sneaky. They're more of educational and religious. Karl Marx started with this, and I'm going to quote some things to you that I didn't know. They believe in a Easter in their woke theology. This is why we're having problems with people crossing into borders, while we're having the truth making a lie and so on and so forth, because they want to change everything. It's everywhere, this woke garbage. And we're having people in our leadership that are trying to take it out, but it's hard. The DEI and so on and so forth. Let me read to you this. All right. It says, because if it's a cult, the word woke implies becoming woke means experiencing a rebirth into a social, emotional, intellectual worldview of this doctrine. Awakening to the critical conscience, becoming woke, is a personal Easter. This is coming from their books, from their professors that go back way back in the 1930s, and even Karl Marx back in the 1840s. It's real, people. Today in churches we call it liberal theology. The Catholic Church has bought into it, or a lot of churches have bought into this woke, as I look at it, garbage. So it goes on to say here, awakening from a critical consciousness, becoming woke, is a personal Easter, a spiritual death and resurrection on the side of the oppressed. So let me go on here. Just hold on a minute. Okay? It says, apprenticeship, as you will start, if you believe in this and you give your life over to it, they call it being an apprentice. Now, you're wondering where all this came from. It started with professors at universities teaching it to their students, and our students become the politicians. And guess what? That's where they are today. And it's another form of communism, socialism. Okay? They don't want any war. They want a utopia here in the world, be peace with China, Russia. The United States can come one, two, open the borders. Everybody will get free meals and everything else. It's all a ploy, a big setup to bring into the New World Order. Now listen, I'm not finished yet. The apprenticeship demands that, it, first of all, reality, they really experience their own Easter, okay, as a woke person, okay? They die as elitists. So we're all elitists here today. We're all white, okay? We're elitists, okay? So as to be resurrected on the side of the oppressed. So let me continue on. That they may be born again with the beings who were not allowed to be. So we need to confess our sins as being the oppressors. We're at fault for all this. Lies, okay? And guess what? We need to be born again. This is coming right out of their theology. And this Easter, which results in the changing of the consciousness, must be extensionally experienced. The real Easter is not commemorative rhetoric. It is a praxis. Praxis, P-A-X-I-S-M. That is a Marxist term for being an activist. It's a political doing and a historical transformation. In other words, you will be resurrected as being a woke person. Okay? You have to die to yourself. Realize that you were so wrong about being an oppressor. All these lies, they're teaching this to our kids. And why, you know, they're saying, well, you can't call a kid by their name. They have every right to call themselves by what they want. It's that transgender transforming. It's all through this doctrine I'm reading from these books. Every time you get that transformation, the red flag is you better be careful. They want to take away the family. They've already almost taken away our government, split right down the middle. And again, our churches too. It's full of it everywhere. Remember back in the 70s, well, after I got saved, reading about priests and pastors that believe in evolution. Well, evolution is against creationism. See what I'm saying? And if you believe that, you know, you ought to ask yourself, do I really believe in this Bible? Is it for, you know, is the resurrection real? If wokeism has a resurrection and an Easter. A lot of pastors don't know about it. I don't hear about this. And the Lord's laid on my heart for weeks to come on every message that I bring, I'm going to bring out more of this, these lies with the truth. Because we got the historical perspective. What about today? Have we evolved? Are we getting better? Oh, I don't think so. You know, we better hold on to the truth. As it was with the czars and communism, you went through one oppressor to another. And then there's the enemy loves confusion. Open border transgenders and women in sports. And then, of course, as it was back in that time, as it is today, as the Jews were hiding in their homes from Nazi oppressors, people are saying, just stay home. Don't change anything. You know, let them come and get us. Well, you know what? As Christians today, we need to go out and tell people the truth. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not afraid. I got everything again. I have a resurrection, right? They can take my body. They can burn it. They can take my home, take my car, you know, take my wife. But they can't take Jesus. Amen? I want to hear an amen. Amen? That's right. We got to open up our eyes to the truth. And thank God we have a church that we can do that here with. And going on, Paul's saying, look, you're confused here in verses 12 and 13. We're looking at the doubts of the resurrection. And then we'll be looking at the first resurrection, the last resurrection. But he goes on to say here, he says, and verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. There's a man I don't have time, but he went on to say that, he was trying to prove, he and his buddy, and they put out a book here. It's called The Conspiracy Theory of the Resurrection. And he tried to explain that the resurrection was fake. He also believed that that Jesus just fainted from exhaustion. And it was because of that, later on, they gave him some drugs, okay? And remember when Christ was on the cross, they gave him some vinegar. That was more like an opiate type of thing to keep the those that were being crucified a little longer. But it didn't help because it was excruciating trying to lift yourself up as well as you lay, as you relax, you'd be suffocating. It was a very horrible way to die. But they made the point if you got out of line. And that later he was revived and laid in the dark, damp, cold tomb. Okay? And they claim that even to this day that it was resuscitation. And you know, the sad part is that they came to the conclusion that they didn't even know if this is right or not. Isn't that amazing? When you start having doubts, there's probably a good reason. It's called a conscience. You know, come on. You know, conscience is trying to tell you before it's seared. Okay, it was before it's hardened, and you can't break it because it's gone. You don't have a conscience anymore. God is saying, wake up, this is the truth. But God never pushes his love. Okay, you have to accept it for what it is. Believe by faith. I'd rather go with that, the way this world's going. I'd take that faith any day. Man. Take that faith any day in Jesus Christ. And there are other books about it, and they... conclude, you know, that Jesus was, you know, in the tomb and they came and rescued him. And they basically, what they're saying is that they took the body and resuscitated it. You know, tell me, is that found in the Bible? Why, you know, we're going to get into all the reasons why to believe in the resurrection. It puts away the doubters and the complainers and the whiners because they don't want to hear it. As my professor told me years ago, he had all kinds of letters on the walls, and I said, how can they get away with this stuff? He says, it's called lying. Lying. They keep on lying to you. Just keep on believing it. Because they don't want to believe in God. I don't want it. You know what? God's saying, fine. You don't want me? Then I'm going to give you what you want. Science says about the resurrection, he may live again. Philosophy says he hopes to live again. Ethics says he ought to live again. Atheism says he will never live again. Jesus Christ says that he will live again. But, you know, people suffer from unbelief. You just, you know, either you believe or you don't. There's no in between, you know. Verses 15 through 19 says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised us up from Christ, who he did not raise up, if and in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You still live in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And verse 19 says, if in this life only we have the hope of Christ, we're of all men most pitiful. So isn't that a tragedy as it is? You know, you can, as I told the folks up there at Evan, I said, I've used this illustration over years. You know, they used to go into these Egyptian tombs and they'd say it was cursed. And they would tell you that, you know what, it's cursed. And if you open this tomb, you'll die. Well, that was going on for years until scientists found out that it was because of sicknesses and because of germs being locked up in these tombs. They open up the tombs and woof, air comes hitting you after 2,000 years, 3,000 years. And some of these people would die just because of the bacterial issues. And so they finally found out what that problem was. Okay? They go into the tomb, the mummy is still there, the body's still there, but they found seeds. Now, if we look outside, this is a great pictorial illustration. You see buds coming up. You see things are resurrecting back to life. Aren't we glad, amen? We're not going to have to shovel any more snow. Nobody wants to shovel snow. And then we have the grass to cut, right? But who cares about that? So you have the seeds that are in the tomb. They took these seeds, and they look like, okay, 3,000 years of age. Yeah, right. Well, you know, one guy got the idea one time, let's take some of these seeds and put them in the ground. Guess what? They germinated, and a new shoot came up. And that's exactly what our resurrected body is going to be. We die like a seed. Okay? Some people say, well, what happened if I was cremated? Well, you know, God can work that out too. Or if you're just, your body just goes from dust to dust. Okay? And so, you know, you have a new body. You will have a new body. People say to me, you know, well, what about this body here? Well, we know through, in different illustrations, we don't have time, but you'll be able to talk. You'll be able to walk like Jesus did. You'll be able to eat. You'll be able to pass through walls. You'll be able to ascend. So you'll be able to do all these things as Christ did because we'll have a glorified body like him, right? Okay? We'll have flesh and bones, but we won't have blood because what's in the blood is the giver of life. There, you know, Jesus' account, he's just flesh and bones, but in a spiritual body. We'll be able to recognize one another as Christ did with his disciples. Oh, how you, I remember you came to church that one time. Great. I didn't know you were going to go to heaven. Well, I didn't know you were going to go there either. But it's good to see you. Great. You know, don't be surprised. Some people, when they get to heaven, you'd think they would never be there. And don't be surprised if some people who thought they were going to be there aren't going to be there. But God doesn't want us to worry about that, because guess what? That's between you and the Lord, right? Nobody can take that away. And then, of course, somebody says, well, I'd be in the prime of my life, you know, looking all, you know, I don't know what that means anymore. What is the prime? They said till you hit 20s and you start going downhill. You know, when you're young, you know, when you're 7, you're pretty much your whole character and your personality is made up by then. But God knows. God knows. I don't know. Okay. There'll be no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more marriages, no more births. We'll enjoy a new Jerusalem that will exist forever. And we'll serve God without toil. Adam and Eve, what? They were in the garden. What? Because they sinned, they had to toil. That's why, and because of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Say, well, boy, I would love to have a new body and all that. Well, just look to Jesus today. Oh, that's really easy, right? You know, you got to believe it. God doesn't want you to work your way to heaven. God wants you to believe, and believe what his word says, and go by faith, you know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to believe, you got to live it. And I know it's hard for even as believers, but summarizing verses 15 and 19, if there was no resurrection, then Christ would still be in the grave. Christ would be a liar. And his disciples were deceived. And the preaching was in vain. Our faith would be in vain. Kind of hopeless, kind of empty, isn't it? We wasn't any Easter, Resurrection Sunday, you know, family time together. It kind of like fall apart. Our society would fall apart because we're more Christian ethic culture. Christian church would be a farce. Christian's experience would be purely imagination. We would still be in our sins, and we of all men would be miserable. It would be a miserable life. You know, you grow up, great, you get a house, great, you have a family, great, and you get old and you die together, great, you know, and life goes on, and then what? Nothing. You want to go to hell today? Do nothing. Don't believe it. Okay? Walk away from it and say, it's okay, it's not for me. Everything's going great. Watch it. Watch it. You never know what can happen tomorrow. You never know what your life's going to be in the next minute. Then we see here that one, it's the doubts of the resurrection. Verse 20 is the good news of Jesus Christ. I love this. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or those who have died. So, what does it mean by that? The first fruits is what? Number one, Jesus, when he rose again, he is the first resurrection. Number two, when Christ had risen, okay, in Jerusalem, it says this in Matthew 27, 52 and 53, there were bodies who had resurrected from the grave that walked in Jerusalem, walking around Jerusalem. Guess what, folks? Those are the Old Testament saints. Okay, now I'm going to get to the rapture here in a minute. Okay, so one, Christ is the first resurrection. When he rose first, after that, the Old Testament saints, went ahead and they rose. And then number three, then we have the church saints. For those who are dead in Christ will what? Rise first in Christ, in the church age. So well, what was that? I know the Old Testament saints for the Old Testament, right? But it's talking about the church age. It's talking about when it happened at Pentecost, in the time of what? To the rapture. We're very close to that now. Say, what do you mean a rapture? What in the world is that? It means taking away. In other words, God will call us with a trump of an angel. In other words, they used to do that back in the day. They made big announcements. They would blow horns. Get your attention, and then the announcement would come. It's like, you know, we have that today. Bells go off, things happen. And then So there's going to be the rapture. For those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those that remain, that's you and I, that are alive, unless we hadn't passed away yet. Okay? Then there's also the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. This is the next term of the resurrection. The Antichrist kills these two, and then God resurrects them. And then, of course, there's the martyr tribulation saints in Revelation 25, and they'll be resurrected. We talked about Palm Sunday last Sunday. They'll be the ones with the palm branches. We'll all be there praising God. Praising God, saying Hosanna in the highest. That'll be a wonderful time. And of course, then we see here that Christ is the first fruits, and then of course, and those who have died as well. And of course, you know, people ask, "Well, how can you prove it?" Well, historically, and we'll look. The second point is: first of all, we looked at the doubts of the resurrection. The second one is. The first resurrection, the title of this message was the two resurrections. Historically, Jews would have never used women as witnesses. They were considered invalid in courts. They would have just used men. Why? Because women were just property back in the day. I hate to say that. I think women are the most beautiful thing. I think they're wonderful and they're a gift to mankind. And so what happened is that they were like second. Man was first. We talked about that a few weeks ago, saying that Christ is over all, and God created man, then woman. But Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, guess what? Where did you come from, men? From women. Okay, then we're all the same in Christ Jesus. People get this male chauvinist and, you know, get the other part about the women lib. And of course, you know, we dealt with that too. And you know, how husbands should love their wives. And if a husband goes ahead and what? He loves and leads, then that woman will be more than happy to follow. But she doesn't want somebody who's like, I'm going to rule, you know, I'm in charge here. No, they're not going to like that. Okay, but, okay, so one is historically. They wouldn't have listened to Mary. She ran to the tomb. Of course they didn't. Remember, she came running to the tomb with herbs and spices because she didn't believe in a resurrection. Even Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe in it. It wasn't until after the resurrection. We believe it today because we know it happened. Because of archaeological evidences, historical evidences, and so on and so forth. So, was it made up from the four Gospels? Why aren't they all read the same way? Why don't they have it word for word? Because of people's personalities. People are different. I would write something down different than you would, or you would, you know? It would mean the same thing. So that makes sense. It was made up. It'd all be word for word. And then, of course, the appearance. Jesus appeared for 40 days. 17 times Christ appears since his death, from the time of Mary Magdalene to John at Patmos. Okay? You can't dispute that. Historians say it's right there. But the Corinth church is like they're reading this. And some of the people saw Christ. They understood in Corinth because it happened 20, 25 years ago that he rose from the dead. They saw the man. They walked and they talked with him. And then the death, why would countless people die for a hoax? Why would people get martyred for it? Why would you want to die for something? And by the way, pray for the church in Ethiopia. What they're doing with the Muslims, they're killing Christians today in large numbers because Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion because they're breeding the faster. Again, they're breeding more kids. And so they're going in and they're committing jihad and they're killing Christians. Because unless you repent and turn and pray for the people there, Nigeria used to be largely Christian, no longer. It's largely Muslim. And they're going after the minority religious groups. They're going after those people that can't defend themselves and so on and so forth. It's a very cruel thing, but Remember, Muhammad's still in his grave. 630 AD, he died. Remember, he never resurrected. So the empty tomb, how could a body be stolen? Okay, here's an argument here. You would have had to have gotten past 10 to 20 guards. They had four shifts of 5 to 6 guards per every 4 hours. You had a Roman seal across that stone. And if you broke that seal, it meant death. Why would you want to steal a body, right? Why would you go through all that? Well, remember, there was a group of religious leaders that wanted to steal the body, which is even mentioned today in Jewish culture at the synagogues today. They will tell you that the body was stolen. But have they ever found the body? No. So people will do anything. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll do anything to prove their point. Also, it would have taken 20 men to roll back the stone. That's why when Mary arrived there around 6:30 in the morning, this morning, let's call it this morning, okay, the body wasn't there, and there was an angel, and said, you know, Mary, what are you looking for? He's not here. He's risen. Isn't that great? It took an angel to roll back that stone. You know, I was thinking about people have had uprisings against other people over the years. And why would you, and there was, they're called the Essenes, they actually had a revolt against the Roman Empire years later, which was crushed. But they actually, you know, that kind of group of people, you would have had to find somebody who had been bold enough to roll that stone uphill, because they roll it down. And it weighed a couple of tons. And so you would have had some people that really would have meant serious business. They're almost like martyrs. They would have, you know, they would have died for what they believed in because they hated the Roman government so much. And then, of course, the clothes that were left behind. This one's really interesting. If he stole the body, why would it say in John that the napkins, the head napkin and the body napkin, by the way, are two different pieces of cloth? That's why I don't believe in the Shroud of Turin. Oh, I'm sorry if you do. But, you know, nothing, not trying to be sacrilegious or anything here. But they've already done carbon testing and said it was a body from 400 AD years ago, but then they have to pull it back out. Unfortunately, people like to worship things, you know. And there's all kinds of idols in different churches around this country, everywhere. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. I hope we never worship anything around here other than Christ. But anyway, why would somebody steal a body and then fold up these two pieces of cloth? Why would they do that? Let's get the body. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Quick, run. But no, they found the two pieces, the head piece and the body garment. Say, where's that? That's in down in John chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. You got questions, come and ask me. I'll be happy to talk to you. I get through the Bible. That's where I get my resources from. And then, as we know, they believe in the lie. There's a little girl who was asking her teacher about whales. You remember the story of Jonah? He's in the belly for 3 days, just like Christ was. And the teacher said, the whale is big, but the throat is too small. They're having a cute little argument between the teacher and the little girl. And the little girl said, Jonah was swallowed up by the whale. The teacher said, it's impossible. The little girl said, when I get to heaven, I will ask him. The unbelieving teacher said, what if Jonah is in hell? And I love what little girl said. You got to be careful because kids are smart. And the little girl said, replied, then you ask him. You ask him. Oh, gosh. You know, so you got to be careful around kids. Kids are pretty smart, I'll tell you. You know, they're good listeners. You think, oh, they're not paying. They could probably recite to you everything that was said, you know. Because I love them. I was going to say they have big ears, but I wouldn't say that around them because they know how to answer that one, too. So. All right, so we see here that there's the first resurrection, and then there's the second resurrection, found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15. Now, the first resurrection is Jesus. Okay, is the first fruit. Second one is found in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne. Why is it called white? In Revelation chapter 20, because of God's purity. And in him that sat on it, that's Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. So now, at this time, before there's a new heavens and a new earth, found in Revelation chapter 21, God is going to dissolve the universe as we know it. And there's going to be a place called the Great White Throne. Now listen, this is serious stuff. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God. Those are people that died in their sins. Those are people who rejected Jesus Christ. Those are people who said no to God. Those are the people who mocked God, who mocked his people. Those are people who thought that they could work their way to heaven. All kinds of reasons, except believing in faith what Jesus did. It's as simple as that. If only I had known years ago, but my time, like there's a time to die. And there's a time to accept Christ. And the books were open, and another book was open. And the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to the works. So it was just going to be the unbelievers. People say, I don't believe it. Unbelief is very powerful today. The woke crowd, they'll be there too unless they accept Christ, the false resurrection they believe in. I'm an oppressor, so I need to repent. And I need to ask, you know, my bad self for to be resurrected, to go alongside with those who were less fortunate. And I'm such a bad person. I'm white. I'm terrible. They believe in that. They believe in being born again in a different way. They'll be there too, unless they repent. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered, and the dead which were in them. And judge everyone according to their work. And I love this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second resurrection. Remember, you're born once into this world through your mother's womb. You're born the second time being born again of what? The Spirit. Then you die. Okay? The first time you die. If you're a Christian, you love the Lord Jesus. Remember, Christian doesn't mean anything. It's all about your relationship. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, okay, you go before him. You are already resurrected with him. We have somebody here today accept Christ as Savior. You know what? Then you're going to go with the church in the rapture and that happening there, that resurrection, okay? Unless you die. If you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Fine. But these are people that rejected Christ. There's a place called Hades right now where you go. And that's a place where we have a place of conscience, a place of torment, a place of darkness, eternal separation from loved ones without the slightest hope of release, and torment of past memories. Why? Because a holy and righteous God has only one way. And that's, you know, can you question God? No, you can't. Can a potter say to the, can the clay say to the potter, why did you do this? No. God's ways are higher than our ways. He's outside of time. Okay? We can't question it. But he loves us. Got it. He loves us. So they will stand before God and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you die in your sins today, you will go to a place called Hades. And then comes the great white throne judgment found in Revelation 20. And that's through all the ages. So where is everybody who's rejected Christ? They're in Hades right now. It's a compartmental-sized place. Where is it? It's found in Ephesians 4:9. It affirms now, he that ascended what is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That's Jesus Christ. After he died on the cross, he went for 3 days and 3 nights. He went into a place called Hades to proclaim that the resurrection was complete. He preached to the prisons the spirits in prison. Okay? And those Old Testament saints that were in paradise, they had two compartments, one called paradise, one called Hades. And Luke chapter 16, you have the story of the rich man Lazarus. And Christ took that place, which is called paradise, and they were resurrected with him. Okay? And they walked among the streets there in Matthew chapter 24. Now, what happened to Hades and those people, the Old Testament saints? Time of Christ, rejected Christ. Well, Hades expanded itself, bigger for more people. Originally, Hades was created for Satan and his angels. And by the way, they'll be cast in the lake of fire. And death will, isn't that great? There'll be no more death. That will be cast in the lake of fire. It's a place of torment, okay? It's a live lake of torment. And why would a holy and righteous God do that? You know what? I don't even question that. I just say to myself, thank God I know I'm saved through Jesus Christ. My God is so big that a lot of things I can't even start to comprehend, to understand. But I know that resurrection, I got to have that. I got to have that. And I hope today you have that resurrection today. Remember, Jesus rose for a reason. He rose for you and I today that we may have eternal life. And I want to see my kids there. Yeah, there's family members today here that don't know Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you by the mercies of God. You know what the opposite of mercy is? Judgment. And either you make a choice today. You can go with the crowd. You can look over there in the pastor's corner. I got that poster up of a big cross. And it shows all these people, all the world, doing what they're doing, having such a good time, and then going off to the cliff into hell. And you have a cross, which is a big bridge, crosses over into heaven. You have that choice today, you know? And if you have doubts and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know. You know what? I can't make it up for you. That's between you and the Lord. I did one day. I decided with all the religion I had and everything else in my life, I was like, I need Jesus. Because over 40 years ago, it didn't make any sense to me after a while. But you know, my biggest problem is pride. My pride. And then, I wasn't too sure and I had my doubts. I had to deal with it. You have to deal with it before you come to know Christ. Because one day, there's going to be a book of life opened up. And if your name's not found in that book, there's a place that you want to go. And you know what? Most people don't want God. Come that day, they're going to be angry at God. Why am I here? I like things better. Even it says in the book of Revelation, I'm going to close with this because of time. People are going to be angry. Why couldn't I just do my own thing? You know? And they're lost. They're lost. But I'm praying that you'd be lost and found today. Let's pray. Let's pray because I got to end. Lord, thank you for this time. Father, if there's anybody here, I don't know how else to put it. As plain as a five-year-old could understand, as well as somebody who's elderly here, accept Christ. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to have to knock on your heart, and it's going to be your choice today, my friend, whether you want to accept him or not. No one's going to do it for you, not a priest, not a pastor, whatever, not a church. It's you alone. One day you have to stand before God, and you know, you will know by then whether you accepted this, what I'm preaching here today, or you don't. Are you going to put aside? Are you going to change your life? Are you going to let God change your life? And you got to believe it by faith. And it's by grace and through faith that you're saved, not of works. Because, boy, if we had to work our way ahead, we'd be boasting. And God's not about boasting. Look what Jesus did for us. Look what Jesus did. He suffered on that cross. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was misrepresentative. His disciples ran away from him. He was all alone. And yet he did it for you and I. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, accept him now. Talk to me after the service. Talk to somebody here. Pray about it. And don't put it off, my friend, because you don't, this life is going by too quick. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.